Good Monday morning, Hope College. It is so good to see your smiling faces this morning, and I am excited to have a chance to share a few thoughts with you, and actually to invite you to think with me this morning about big questions. You know, I often think that college is a time in your life when you really ought to be asking the big questions. Perhaps all of our lives should be times of inviting big questions, but I think in college especially, that opportunity to really put the questions on the table is there before you, and you ought to take full advantage of that. You know, when you go to college, you ought to be asking questions about your own identity. Who am I? What am I best suited for? What are my gifts? How can I pursue a career? In fact, how can I find friends? How can I form a life that's suitable for the person that God has created me to be? You might need to ask questions about who is God, and do I understand God and my relationship with God in the way that maybe I was raised to understand it? I think it's a perfectly normal and actually healthy thing for us to ask questions about our faith when we're in college, particularly if we haven't asked those questions before, because ultimately we deepen our walk in our faith as we lean into the hard questions. But the questions aren't always easy. Sometimes they're questions that we invite. Sometimes they're questions that are thrust upon us. I have a daughter named Mary who is a senior at Samford University. 2 years ago, Mary was moving in to her dorm room, and she and her roommate, who had lived together the previous year, were together, and her roommate named Trevelyn left to go and back to her parents' home to pick up some more things to bring to the college, and she was killed in an automobile accident by a drunk driver. And you can imagine that Mary was facing big questions in that moment. Why would God allow something like this to happen? Could there possibly be any purpose in this? Is there any way that this could possibly be used for good? Big questions. Questions that each and every one of us will face if we haven't already in our lives. The questions that don't lend themselves to easy answers, and indeed, may actually have no answers that we can find. And I think it's important for us to take comfort in the fact that in the Christian tradition, that through all time, we have actually had good models of people who are sincerely pursuing their faith and yet struggling with questions that they find simply unanswerable. Some of you in your studies have had an opportunity to read the Confessions of St. Augustine. And, you know, St. Augustine was one of the great shapers of the Christian faith as we know it, really gave form to our understanding of what we believe about the nature of God and how God relates to us. And yet St. Augustine said in his Confessions, "Where then does evil come from if God made all things?" A big question. John Calvin, who is the father of the Reformed faith, a great theologian, a man that we look to for answers so often, writes, "Surely, while we teach that faith ought to be certain and assured, we cannot imagine any certainty that is not tinged with doubt, or any assurance that is not assailed by some anxiety." Martin Luther and C.S. Lewis, great icons of the Christian faith, struggled their whole life with questions about their faith that they just couldn't quite answer. A perfectly normal thing. Mother Teresa, I had the opportunity several years ago to spend time with Mother Teresa before her death, and I would have imagined, as you might, that Mother Teresa was a person who was absolutely sure of her faith in every way. Certainly, this is a person that knows God as well as God can be known, and yet we found after her death in some of her writings, some of her letters, that she too struggled with her faith, with questions about why God does what God does. Why is there so much suffering in the world? And she certainly knew suffering in the kind of ministry that she had. Most recently, Pope Francis spoke openly about his struggle with unanswerable questions. He said, "Who among us, everybody, who among us has not experienced insecurity, loss, and even doubts in their journey of faith? Everyone. We've all experienced this. Me too. It's part of the journey of faith. It's part of our lives. This should not surprise us because we are human beings, marked by fragility and limitations. We're all weak. We have limits. Do not panic. We all have them. Faith does not mean absolute certainty in all things. In fact, if we had absolute certainty, we wouldn't need faith. I think it's important to recognize that God Himself actually gives us permission to ask the big questions, actually invites us to express our doubts, and wants us to express those doubts and ask those questions directly to Him. You know, the largest body of literature in the Psalms is actually what we call the lament Psalms, Psalms where the psalmist is actually crying out in questions, asking God, how is it possible that the good suffer? How is it possible that the evil prosper? Questioning the justice of God, questioning the will of God. We're actually invited to bring those questions right to God. If we look at the beginning of Psalm 10, it begins, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Big questions that we are actually invited to ask. And God provides some answers. They're not always the answers we want, not always the answers to the specific questions that we ask. God says in the book of Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't always understand the mind of God. We can't always expect to know what God's purposes are that seem so impossible for us to grasp. In fact, you remember in the book of Job, if you've read Job, there's this long drama that plays out all the way through 37 chapters where Job and his friends are trying to understand why Job is suffering so much. And his friends are saying, it's probably your own fault. Probably you've somehow sinned and God's punishing you. And as they're struggling with this, we get to this point where God sort of breaks into reality and actually speaks to Job through a storm. He speaks to him out of a whirlwind, and God speaks almost with sarcasm in his voice, says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. And he goes on to talk about, where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy as I was creating the earth? And what God is saying to Job is, I'm the creator. You're a creature. You can't expect to know my mind. You can't expect to have answers to all the questions that you struggle with. Well, we're not told that we ought to just then accept that there's no way to find peace. In fact, accepting that we can't know it all doesn't mean that we should stop asking the questions or that we should despair. And so I would think of it this way. Imagine if you're developing into a great physicist or a great psychologist or a great engineer or perhaps a great philosopher. You're going to learn by asking questions. You're going to grow in your knowledge by asking questions and even by challenging the things that you've been taught. Because sometimes the way we make advances is to simply question what we believe is already assumed, and we might learn something more. And I think the same is true in our life of faith. We're actually encouraged to ask those questions that help us move ever closer to a deeper knowledge of what we believe. We may not always get the answers, but we ought to always be putting the questions out there to encourage ourselves to continue to lean in to the challenge of following God in this world. Now, we've been studying the book of James, and I think James actually offers us something that's quite helpful in this regard. In the first chapter, in the fifth verse, James says, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God. God who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. He returns to this in the third chapter, and he talks about two kinds of wisdom. One kind is the wisdom that we get from ourselves, that we believe that is kind of wisdom of our own making, and that leads to a sort of pridefulness and boastfulness and a belief that we can know all things, that we can be an authority on all things. There's another kind of true wisdom that he says comes from God, not from ourselves, and it's a wisdom that brings with it a kind of humility, and he even says a peace of mind in recognizing that we don't know everything, but that we can trust the one who does. And so, as we think about what James is telling us about wisdom, there are a couple of lessons in here. The first lesson is that wisdom comes from God. All wisdom comes from God. We see that in the book of Solomon. Solomon prays for wisdom, and God grants it. We see that Ezra is said to have been blessed by God with wisdom. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom so that you may know him better." The lesson in this is that wisdom comes from God and that we are simply to ask for it, and that to gain wisdom is to gain a better understanding of God. It doesn't mean that we know the mind of God. It doesn't mean we know why God does what God does, but it means that we know God and come to an understanding of the goodness of God as one that we can trust, even in those things that we don't understand. And finally, Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Corinth that while we don't have all the answers to our big questions today, that while God hasn't made it possible for us to understand everything in this life, perhaps that would make us God if we did, that there is a time when we will come to that knowledge, when our questions will be answered. We're not destined to live with unanswerable questions forever. So he writes to the church at Corinth, "For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." And so we can look forward to a time when God ultimately does reveal to us in another time, in another place, what the real truth is, why it was that my daughter's friend was killed in that automobile accident at such a young age. God knows. God can answer that question. We may not find the answer now, but we are to have faith that God is good and that God's ways, while beyond finding out, are still trustworthy. And I think that's a good message for us from the book of James. And so my challenge to all of us is that we would take James up on what he offers us, which is an invitation to pray for wisdom, to simply ask God to provide wisdom in our own lives, to lean into the difficult questions, understanding that with wisdom, we will be able to accept the fact that we are not God, but that we can trust the one who has the answers. Go in peace.